We also have the privilege this morning of hearing from Steve Anderson. We've had the privilege of getting to know them, the Anderson family, over the last year or so, as they are kind of a furlough that they're home on from Thailand, a reorganization, I guess, of their mission activity. But they have, if you have not heard already, and I'm probably going to steal some of his thunder, but they have over 90% of their support. They have tickets in hand to return on July 12th to Thailand. And so then we can just wash our hands of them, right? Absolutely not. Then the work begins, and we will stay in prayer with you guys. We will stay partnered with you guys. And we're looking possibly even that perhaps the Lord would open a door for us to come and join you physically in your work in Thailand as well. So we want to welcome Steve Anderson this morning as he brings God's word to us.
EJ, ooh, there we go. Getting it going. Good morning, everybody. Jay, thank you. I tell you what, my heart is already just so full and blessed. You guys have gotten just about the whole package from the church. If we just had the Lord's Supper, we would have thrown in everything I think we can throw at you as a church. And it is awesome, exciting. Man, when you see the baptism waters up there stirred, people coming to know Christ, the children singing, the choir, the orchestra, the everybody that's at work that makes this happen. It's a joyful noise that comes, you know, from their hearts. When you see the musicians and you see the, I don't know if you look at the faces of the people in the choir that are singing earnestly unto the Lord, and it just fills my heart. And then when we're training up children in the way of the Lord and they're joining in that part in worship and the baby dedication, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, the rain that was coming down, we have a new roof on your building. God's faithfulness, His goodness, His mercies, His love is enduring. And what a privilege I have to share this morning that your pastor is not a jealous pastor in a sense that he you know, holds on to this pulpit and isn't willing to let others share. But I look forward every Sunday to coming to hear Pastor Joel. We are going to miss that. And I know you guys are really, really blessed. I'm telling you, you have a man of God, his wife, their family that seeking after the Lord diligently to bring a fresh and living word from scriptures to you. And I have a privilege this morning just to share with you a little bit. And we did throw a lot of things in here, so we're going to do a little bit of an Asian culture in that just don't worry about whatever time it is and wherever you think you're going to go to lunch or anything, all right? So in Asia, the church is the moment. I mean, that's the event, right? So don't worry about, you know, if you're going to beat the Methodist to the, you know, Ed's Shack down here to go have lunch or something. We're just going to, you know, Seafood House, Ed's, yeah, I got it wrong. Anyway, God has, this is neat and unique for me. Normally, my kids will tell you they never really know what I'm going to say, except I usually have one or two kind of sermons. And the Lord has brought a fresh word, a fresh sermon, and I've had all week to really look at it. I am going to try to stay closer to what I actually have written down as an outline and the scripture. But you never know when I might deviate. I'm a PE teacher, so I'm used to just shouting, moving around and everything. I'll try to stay more reverent and refrained, you know, here. But I'm excited about what God has to share, you know, with us today because He's laid it on my heart this morning. And so we're gonna cruise along, you know, in this in a little bit, and I'll jump off. But my students, when I was a teacher, they just loved to get me on rabbit trails. Do you ever mend that? You know, they knew I was a missionary kid, so they would ask me questions, and off I would go. And whoever knows, whatever we were trying to talk about was gone. But this morning, I've got notes, I've got the scripture, and we're going to pray. And then after the prayer, there's going to be a quick video to show you a little bit about where we're going. So many of you have been, you know, a part of what we are going to do. And I want you to know that that is a partnership and a linkage. And so I want you to see where your prayers, where your support, and hopefully your going will be ministering to and what it's about. because your partnership in what God has to do in Asia, you are a part of. You are a linkage event in that. So after I pray, we're going to show the video and then I'm going to take off. So get your breath here in a minute. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, I'm so privileged to be here today. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in the house of the Lord today, to worship together. Your Spirit is already present. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my refuge and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope that just gives you a little bit of a visual of where we're going, the strategicness of it. My position as the head of school at Grace International School gives us an opportunity to be a part of so many different ministry organizations that are going to be functioning in and out there. So again, your linkage, your partnership with us is so crucial to keeping the gospel on the forefront. And so, all right. We're going to get going here. Hebrews chapter 11, and God has some cool stuff in store for us. And just as I begin to read in just a moment, the essence of faith, as the whole scripture is talking about in this passage of Hebrews 11, is about faith and the testimony of God and the people of faith. And so you'll find that in Hebrews 11. But faith is the essence of faith consists of believing and receiving what God has revealed. It may be defined as the trust in God of the scriptures and in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, which receives him as Lord and Savior and impels to a loving obedience and good works. That's out of John 1:12. It says the particular use of faith gives rise in its secondary definitions. For one, for salvation of faith, it is personal trust, apart from meritorious works in the Lord Jesus Christ, as delivered because of our offenses and raised again because of our justification. For number two, it's used in prayer. Faith is the confidence we have in the approach of God that we are asking anything according to his will, that he hears us. And number three, as used in reference of the unseen things in which the scripture speaks, faith gives substance to them so that we act upon the conviction of their reality. And then number four, as a working principle in life, the uses of faith were illustrated in this chapter 11. So there are several things that go into faith. And as I studied into what all really went into this, it was so enriching and amazing for me. So when you just look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 1 there. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not what was made and what was not, excuse me, and what was visible. As I was studying through this, the affirmations of faith, declarations of truth that play into our life's experience, there are three actions or effects of faith. Faith makes things that we cannot see now real or realistic for the future. So things that you really can't see, but you that are real and they are really realistic for the future. Some of you, your children, you look at them and you have hopes or aspirations or visions or things that you might perceive or think for them. Some of you in careers, you might envision yourself 5 years, 10 years down the road, and you set a plan in place or something, and you're envisioning these things. Faith makes us a believer approved of God. And faith makes a person understand and believe the things inconceivable to us in a sense and reason. So the creation of the world, the parting of the Red Sea, the plagues from Egypt, all these different things that seem inconceivable to us. You know, that the nation, you know, President Trump could come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior and change this nation. Might seem inconceivable to us, but it could happen if the believers are in prayer and God begins to stir. So there are things that are unseen to us, but faith allows us to believe in these things. The Word of God is the objective foundation in which my hope rests, but faith provides the subjective foundation for its conveniences of me and certainty of them. We believe and are sure, John 6:69 says, faith is evident by its fruits, works, and effects. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is at the core. It starts with the understanding that I am a sinner separated from God and that I am destined to the judgment of death because of my sins. I am guilty, second, then to ask the acknowledge that nothing I can ever do with rectify my guilt and sin. I must understand that God is holy and that God is merciful. And then He is the only one who can provide the covering for my sins. And He will provide the sacrifice that must be paid in order to grant redemption for my sins. Faith is accepting God's position of authority, our need to submit to His lordship, and receive His redeeming love through the Son's cleansing sacrifice for our very sins. So the foundation of set up there that faith, and as we begin to dive into this, understanding that our faith comes in knowing that we have a God who loves us so much that He has a plan for us and He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross that we might have life everlasting. And it takes faith to accept and receive the grace that God has given for us in that. Okay, ready? Here we go. By faith, Abel offered God better sacrifices than Cain did. By faith, he was condemned as righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. And I've heard our seminary professors and other people just talk about that, how, you know, Enoch and God were walking together, talking together, and God said, you we're closer to my home than yours. Just come on with me. And he was just taken up. And these are heroes of faith that the scripture is about to give examples for. And he says, for before he was taken, he was condemned. This is verse 5, as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about the things yet not seen, there it is again. He can't see the flood that is coming. In holy fear, the scripture here says, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. I'm a PE teacher. I'm the simple person. I put this into picture form stuff, right? And I've seen dramatizations of this and stuff again, where God speaks to Noah and he's saying, Hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And he's like, well, what's that? You know, and God begins to reveal to him what this is. And then how many years it took Noah to step out in faith with just his 3 sons to build an ark, to build this ship that is going to hold these animals and his family, is going to start the world over again, the earth and its humanity. And you know, the ridicule, can you picture this? The ridicule that Noah and his sons had to face from the community that were just laughing at him, making fun of him, you know? And that he still faithfully, you know, he just didn't do it for a little while and then give up. He kept going. God continued to provide for him and his resources and the strength and the encouragement, and all that was needed to follow through to the end, to have this miracle, this thing take place, that this ark literally was built. Literally, the animals came, literally were put in it, floated around, landed on the Mount of Ararat, and they came out and repopulated the earth. And so when you can read past this and miss some of the stuff, but when you try to picture it and see it, it just comes to life for me. And I hope you can see these as well. All right. Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Now, in the mission field, when we were doing missionary training years ago, we go through a missionary training program and up in Richmond, Virginia, with the International Mission Board. And this June, we'll go for one with Teach Beyond as we head out with them. But they'll try to put, you know, give you some ideas, some knowledge, some instances about preparing you for what you're going to see and what you're going to experience and what you're going to go for. And one of the things that they just can't seem to prepare you for or mimic is the smell. They've said they've tried, you know. I mean, the only thing they know that they could do is just take the dumpster and set it inside the conference room where we're talking so that you could try to picture and understand. There's going to be some distractions, you know, here. There's going to be some things that are just, you know, not normal to you. In a worship service, Judy and I have been in time and time again. Our kids, I'll never forget this. We were in language school. And again, we're trying to picture what all this is going to look like. We're in language school. We're at church and it's hot in the southern Philippines. I mean, it's just so hot. Just some fans on the walls, you know, kind of going along. And, you're just sweating. It is just hot. And you're just praying that the power doesn't go out, because if the power goes out, then they're going to crank up this generator just to run their microphone and their, projector, overhead projector. And it's got loud, and then there's no air circulating. Anyway, I'm sitting there in church, and I'm having a hard time understanding because it's in a foreign language, and I'm listening to this language, and I'm not getting all of it. Anyway, I look, and there's this lizard trying to climb up this beam that's on the roof. And this lizard, he's climbing up, and it's so hot, the walls are sweating, and he gets up a little way, he just kind of slides back down. You know, he kind of slides back. That's pretty hot, right? When the lizard can't even climb up the wall, you know, everything. So you can't, he's saying, by faith, he went to a place that he didn't know what was ahead of him. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as he did Isaac and Jacob, and were heirs with him for the same promise. Listen to this, verse 10. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. That's how you stay. That's how you remain in that journey, that step, is your faith in God in something you can't see the outcome. You can't see its end, its fruition. But he's saying the architect, which foundation is, builder is God. Verse 11, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren and was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man and as good as dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sands on the seashore. And all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things that were promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and peoples and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had seen and been thinking of the country they had left, they would have left. They would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. You know, somebody asked us just the other day, said, well, are you looking forward to going back to Thailand, to Chiang Mai, the city that you just saw? And I had to think for a minute. I mean, it's a great city. It's a great place, you know, and all that. There's a lot of conveniences, just like, you know, here. It's a modern city. I mean, almost 1 million people, international airports, Starbucks on every corner, you know, and things. So, I mean, there are some comforts there. It's not like in our first assignment where we were, you know, in the province and it was really hot. You know, some of our houses actually have air conditioning and that's nice. So we get a break and some things. But so I'm thinking about that question. And I was like, well, I guess on one hand, I'm just being transparent. I guess here we're leaving three kids home, my wife and her family, my family, this church, the people and the friendships we have met, friends that our kids have met, a lifestyle, a livelihood, things that are here we're comfortable with. You know, I can use vernacular words like y'all and fixin', and people don't look at me funny, you know, kind of things like that. And so on one hand, we were ready to settle and stay here, and it would have been good. It would have been fine. But on the other hand, God continued to lead us back overseas. And so it's not that I can say I was looking forward to that city, that place, and this job that is going to be, you know, what it is. But I'm looking forward to just being in the center of God's will, of just being obedient to where he's called us to be. And that's a difficult decision. I'm just being transparent. So when I was answering that question, I was just kind of like, well, sure. But most importantly, it's just I'm trying to be obedient to what God's called me to do, you know. And so I'm just, there I am. Okay, let's see if I can keep reading now. I may have to get the glasses out because tears start in my eyes and I can't see. And, you know, here we go. Oh, that's better. My kids tell me I should do this all the time anyway. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him and offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had received the promise about the sacrifice of his only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned," God reasoned that God would even raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Now, those of you as parents, I don't know how you reckon this, guys. It's your child. You know, you're laying him on the altar. It's by faith God will raise him back from the dead. I mean, really? Wow. I mean, I just can't go there sometimes. I think about that and how, man, how powerful that really is. When you let that sink in, it's not just, we're not just reading through this, you know, going over, is God making it alive and real to you? You know, I wrote in the margin of my scripture, I said, you know, is God speaking to you about something? If not, you're either not listening or you're choosing not to listen. All right, let's roll on. We got several more here. Isaac, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau and regarded their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, this is another. Oh, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Laws, different things are put in place. You're to be obedient, subject to the authorities placed over you. And there's some things. And yet they knew this was something that God was a part of. And they risked and they took him and hid him. And the whole story. Yeah, goodness gracious, Moses in the basket and being found and then raised up. Let's read about him. But by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasure of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Have you ever been in a situation where you're looking at maybe two jobs or something? And you're reasoning out, there's more money over here, there's what maybe the world would consider the right choice or the right decision. And yet then again, you're wrestling with the other side where God is telling you to do something that's different than that. It's a sacrifice. It means something different for your children. They might not be on this sports team over here. They might not get afforded this or something. Folks, we need to be hearing from God and be obedient to what he is calling for us to do and not just compromise and go the way of the world, but to trust in God. When we moved our children in these different transitions and things, it's a scary moment. You know, our friends over here are about to leave and this the community that they've been a part of. And they're transitioning their children. And you think, But God said to me one time when we were moving, he said, "Steve, don't you know I love your children more than you ever could? I'll take care of them. Just be obedient. Just do what I'm calling you to do, asking you to do. I'll take care of them." And he's been faithful to do that. All right, here we go. "By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible." He saw him who was invisible. "By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. When the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned." Can you imagine being the leader walking up and you go to the Red Sea and the whole people are behind you? And okay, Moses, now which way? When he's right and God's saying, "We're going to go across the sea." Could you ever imagine that the wind's going to blow all night and the water's going to part and they're going to walk across on dry land? Was that part of the script for Moses? Did he know that walking up? I don't know. But by faith, he just followed him each step and was obedient to where God had him to go and to do. "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days." I'm studying some stuff in leadership right now because I'm going to go be the head of school at this Christian school in Chiang Mai. So I'm reading all these books on leadership, right? And I'm just telling you, here's my strategy. We're going to march around something, and just quietly. And, we're just going to, hey, people are going to yell at us and shout. But, this is what we're supposed to do. So if I gave some aimless direction or plan to the school, you see the board of trustees going, "This guy's lost it. We have got the wrong guy. How do we get out of this?" Can you imagine all the people that were doubting, that were just like, "This is ridiculous." Even marching, even going along, "This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How can we do this?" And yet, didn't you just, I'm sorry, guys, I just have to picture these things. And because I know where I would be, I'd be one of those guys going, "Oh my goodness, here we are again, another day of this." And yet, God caused the walls to fall down at Jericho. He did it. He caused it. It wasn't because they came up with some explosives or a battering ram, or the walls just came tumbling down. And here, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She was in fear of not knowing was it, but she was part and an instrument in what God's plan was, and she just acted in faith. And what more shall we say? I love this when the author, which we really don't know who it is, they think it's Paul, but in verse 32, what more shall I say? I don't even have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson. I know this is y'all's favorite verse. Y'all go, "Good, I'm glad he ran out of time. Stop talking. We can go to that restaurant." And he says, and Samuel and the other prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, he quenched the fury of flames, he escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who came powerful in the battle and routed foreign enemies. He raised a life. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. This is why a lot of us don't step out in faith, isn't it? You start reading this stuff and you go, wait a minute, I'm not ready to go there. But I've been there too. And yet God says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they rely and be made perfect. I'll tell you a quick story. And again, it's another just being transparent and confessing. And I shared it with my kids, and my kids said, you ought to tell it. So when we were early in our ministry and we were learning our language again, and we were going out to the this people's house named the Austrias, and they were just in this little village and very poor. Her husband drove a motorcycle with a sidecar welded to it, and it had a little roof on it. And it's a taxi. You know, you just go from the market to the house, to the bank, to the school, to whatever. He drives this all day. In fact, he didn't even own the motorcycle. Another guy owns it, and he has permission to drive it and then pays a percentage to the owner of the motorcycle, right? So he's just this little taxi driver, and it's the cheapest form of transportation other than the guy on the bicycle with the little, you know, sidecar or thing on the back, right? So it's a step up, but, you know, there you go. So they're living in a cinder block house and a dirt floor and some wooden benches that he has built. And the bed is this bamboo bed and the slats on it. And so they've just got some sheets or a little mat on it and everything. It's hard. It's rustic. You know, there's windows, but there's no screens on the windows and stuff. And these are poor people. And they're just, you know, they're living this way. And there's several children, and they were just wonderful family for us. They just laughed, you know. And at the end of the day, Judy and I, we would leave and go back to our mission house, right? And our mission house was nice with tile floors and a kitchen and, you know, three bedrooms. And I mean, we lived like kings compared to this family. And one day, as we got to know the family, they were just beautiful people and spiritual people. And one day their daughter got very ill. In fact, had a tumor and was going to need surgery to remove this tumor. And we were not in town at the time, because normally here's what happens. Someone gets sick or ill, or your children have to go to college, whatever. You go see the rich missionary down the street. And obviously we felt compelled, and we would help people. We would give money. We would give monetarily. And so in a situation like this, you know, where they've not earned a lot of money, there's no help plan. You know, they're just living from day to day. So there is no money saved up for a wedding, a funeral or anything. I mean, we weren't there. There was nothing there. And they had her at the hospital. They did this x-ray. And then in the hospital, before they treat you, you have to pay. So the medication, the surgery, all this stuff is going to be all this money. And now we're talking about a hospital that the first time I saw it, I told Judy, I said, listen, if I'm in a car accident or something and it looks bad for me, just throw me in the back of our car and drive the hour and a half to the city where, I might have a chance. You know, so when we're talking about a hospital and we're talking about these people doing surgeries, they're probably veterinarians as well as doctors, you know, doing the thing. And it looks bleak. And their daughter with this tumor. And she tells this testimony. She says, I didn't know what to do. I had no recourse. I walked up on the pedestrian overpass where this goes over this road. And said, I stood up there. And I was pacing. And I was crying out to God. And Lord, this was this lady, this mother of this family. And they're just so poor. And she's just crying out to God. I don't know what to do. And she went back. And the doctors had done one more x-ray to, again, check things, where they're going to do the surgery. And she still had no money to pay. They just didn't know it. And the second x-ray, the tumor was gone. It was gone. And God had answered her prayer, had healed this daughter. And they took her home and she was fine. I can't explain it. I don't know what all that means. I don't know what is all there, but I know so many times my faith was just in my bank account, is in my retirement plan. It was in the health care package that we had. My faith was that, oh, well, something happens to my wife or my kid, we're going to be taken care of. And how many times I lacked the faith to turn it over to God and rely on Him more so than my own resources, my own means, my own ways. And I'm just being transparent with you guys. There are times I didn't feel like a missionary because I was fallen. I was short in this. But thankfully, now I'm 50 plus years of old age, and I've learned some things, and I'm going along, and I'm so blessed that I'm continuing to learn so much from God's Word and how to apply it more and more to my life. And what I feel like God has shared with us this morning is that He is still that living God who has created the universe, that loves us so much that He knows everything about us. And He already knows our plans and our purpose and what's going to happen in our lives. And He has a plan and a purpose. We just have to be surrendered and obedient to Him and be willing to step out in faith and let Him show us. The Scripture says He'll be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. He doesn't really promise the next 10 years, the next 5 years, the next year. It just means the next step. Just take that next step. And yet when you begin on that journey and you begin to see what God can do as He parts the seas, as He heals the sick, as He provides to you and your family, your faith in God will grow and increase in mounds and ways. I truly believe that God has brought this message for me and for many of us to hear today, to be an encouragement. Because as I said in the very beginning, to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior is a huge step of faith. Do you understand the story, right? God's Spirit came upon Mary and she conceived. And we're wanting to tell people this. Well, you know, this is how it works. This is a story. And they're, you know, wait a minute. Biologically, that is not how it works. I can't conceive that. And yet it's something that is unseen, and you have to put your faith that God is in that, the creator of the universe. We just have to be obedient. And I said earlier, if you're not hearing from God, listening, you may be refusing to. Is God working in your heart today? Do you need to come forward this morning and make a genuine profession of faith as Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior? It does take faith. Because it's not a religion that's going to save you. It's not being a part of the Southern Baptist Convention or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or a non-denominational church. It's not going to be a religion that saves you. It's the relationship with Jesus Christ that is going to save you. You guys, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. Jesus walked with these disciples for over 3 years. And when He came down to the garden, and Jesus said to Peter, "You're going to deny me 3 times. Peter, the rock upon this church, I will build this church, was a failure. And God came back, Jesus came back and said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I do. Take care of my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. You know all things. Feed my sheep." We're in need of that Savior. Each of us. There's only two people in the world, two kinds of people. Those that are lost and those that are saved. Your coworkers, your hairdresser, guy at the service station, students in class with you, your parents, your family. Do they know Jesus? Won't you tell them? Won't you share with them the greatest news? You have a loving church right here, a community, a body, a people who are willing to walk with you and help you get through that and do that. But it really just comes down to your own personal testimony that you share it with them, that you were saved, that you came to know Christ, your life before Christ, your encounter with Christ, and your life since Christ. And that's it. And this morning, you have the opportunity to come and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior. You have the opportunity to come join the fellowship of this church. You have the opportunity to come and kneel at this altar and spend some time in prayer asking God, "What is it you want me to do? What step of faith do I need to take for you, Lord?" And so, Jay and Joel, as we come to the time of closing here, I know Joel and Matthew will probably be up here and be able to stand and receive you. If you want to know more about how to come to know Christ or join the church, or you would like prayer, I know that these ministers and the staff here and the elders and deacons, your Sunday school teachers, there's so many well-equipped, qualified people out here that you shouldn't leave not knowing how you can walk with God and walk and have Christ in your life. Thank you so much for the opportunity for our family to be here with you this year in transition, in furlough, and for the sending out that this church has done for us. That, yes, we are going before you, but our partnership and our linkage with you, you are an extension of what God is doing in that foreign land. And we're so blessed to continue to be here with you this morning. So, Jay, as we come and open up in a time of invitation, I'll get out of the way, and you may want to come forward and do business with what God is saying to you in your hearts today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together and to worship. May your name be glorified in our lives each and every day, every hour, every minute. Unto you, Lord, we give you. In Jesus' name, amen.